The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nothing perfect or considered, but we're so damn good. It's the story of your life. You're moving down.
Good morning, Glory America. Bonjour, hi, Canada, to Hewitt. And greetings especially to my brand new affiliate, News Talk 1340 WXKX in Clarksburg, West Virginia. I'm so pleased to be back in the Mountain State's heart. I'll drive up to Clarksburg someday from inside the Beltway when it is it's a nice drive. It's a wonderful, it's how I used to go back and forth from Ohio to Virginia in the old days. Easier way now is to head up through Maryland and Pennsylvania, but West Virginia, welcome. It's good to have you. It's wonderful. I've never been to Clarksburg. I want to get there, a crucial hub in West Virginia, and I'm so glad to have you in the Hugh Hewitt universe. 400 affiliates growing every week. I'm amazed by how fast we are growing in this era. I suppose being opposition to unified government of Democrats, controlling the presidency with President-elect Biden and the Senate with Majority Leader Schumer and with the House with Speaker Pelosi, means that talk radio will be under siege by regulators. But the courts have been remade by Donald Trump in one of his lasting achievements to protect the First Amendment. I've always thought the Fairness Doctrine was unconstitutional. And should they attempt to try and bring that back, I believe it would be litigated and that it would be turned back. But talk radio is going to be, in fact, the bastion of conservatism because the networks simply do not cover the center right. They don't. I mean, Fox News does a little bit. In the evening, I think Brett Baer's show is the best news hour on the air, period, other than the Hugh Hewitt show in the morning. But it is it's going to be a long, long haul for everybody associated with the center right for the next 2 years until the elections come around, redistricting kicks in. And I'm very optimistic about 2 years from now. I understand they're going to impeach the president tomorrow. It's another impeachment despite pressing needs. Our last partisan impeachment resulted in taking the eye off the ball of the virus emerging in Wuhan. I talked about it every day, but it was pretty much me. That was it. In terms of major media platforms, every day I bang the drum on the virus in Wuhan and its spread, its arrival in the United States, our lack of preparedness, and debate after debate with Democratic would-be presidential nominees ignored it, minimized it, didn't talk about it. They talked about their partisan rage. And people forgot that because the media memory hold it. And it's going to happen again. We are happy to have today, coming up in the next hour, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, as we cusp into a crisis with the Chinese Communist Party. People don't know about that. Mark it down. January 12th, I am telling you, the Chinese Communist Party has threatened us because Ambassador Kelly Clark is going, she's the UN ambassador, if you don't know, you Steelers fans out there. And by the way, congratulations to Alabama. They could have won the NFC East. Seriously, they took Ohio State apart last night, losing Trace. I mean, that was a disaster at the beginning of the game. So next year, Buckeyes, but my hat is off to the Crimson Tide. But I digress. Steelers fans, Kelly Kraft is the United States ambassador to the United Nations. And she is going to Taiwan tomorrow. Taiwan is the self-governing island that has been free of the CCP since the Civil War in China in the late 40s. And China's mouthpiece, their Pravda, it's called the Global Times, pointed out yesterday, we would rather face a Taiwan Straits crisis, even a storm, in the next 10 days if Pompeo and his likes become more aggressive and provocative before leaving office. The crisis will teach Taiwan secessionists a lesson and nail Pompeo and his likes to the pillar of shame. Even if this will cause a shock to U.S.-China relations during the period of power change in the U.S., it will bring more benefits to the normal development of bilateral relations in the long term. That's a threat. It's a very naked threat. And they are anticipating a return to Obama appeasement era policies. I'll talk to the Secretary of State about all of that. But first, do understand there is going to be an impeachment of the president tomorrow. Some Republicans may even vote for it because of the recklessness of his remarks on the mall, his failure to understand that the fringe was there in force, and the insurrection in the Capitol, a very grave and dangerous moment. I'll talk to Congressman Dan Crenshaw about it in hour number three. And no one on the right ought to minimize just how grave that moment was. There were five deaths, and it could have been far, far worse. Some of those crazies were in the chamber, some of them intent on violence to members and senators. Todd Young of Indiana courageously putting himself between the anticipated arrival of demonstrators and Senators Collin and Murkowski, it turns out, last night. Lots of people distinguished themselves. Dan Crenshaw among them, Mike Gallagher, Michael Waltz, Tom Cotton, four veterans of Iraq and or Afghanistan, quickly called out the insanity of any good words for this mob. And it was not Antifa. Antifa has, of course, a long record of violence, and they ought to have been infiltrated and arrested and broken up a long time ago. But this was not Antifa. This was white supremacy and extraordinary, not the people down with Trump. I talked with some of them yesterday. And if you were at the rally, 1-800-520-1234, you're welcome to call. I thought that is first person evidence as to why an impeachment is improvident. The fact remains that many, many people on the ground did not believe it was incitement. There's a New York Times account that the president was transfixed by the television show that he watched unfolding, which would be an abdication of responsibility, but not an impeachment. And besides, it is on the face of the Constitution unconstitutional to impeach and try a president who has left office as he will in 10 days. It's not even an open question. You have to purposefully misread the Constitution to think that you can try the president of the United States who's not the president of the United States. They can pass a partisan impeachment tomorrow. It will be the second partisan impeachment. They may get some Republican votes, unlike the first partisan impeachment, but I would urge them not to, because it is another abdication of leadership by Nancy Pelosi. They never miss a chance to miss a chance. As was once said by Golda Meir of the Palestinians, I will say about the Democrats, they never miss a chance to miss a chance. By the way, Democrats understand this. Joe Manchin said yesterday to Brett Baer this, cut number two.
I think that House should know that also. We've been trying to send that message over. They know the votes aren't there. You would think that they would do that. I think this is so ill-advised for Joe Biden to be coming in, trying to heal the country, trying to be the president of all the people when we're going to be so divided and fighting again. Let the judicial system do its job, Brett. And then, you know, we're a country of the rule of law. That's the bedrock of who we are. Let that take its place. Let the investigations go on. Let the evidence come forth, and then we'll go forth from there. There is no rush to do this this impeachment now. We can do it later if they think it's necessary.
Clarksburg, West Virginia, my other West Virginia listeners, I think you have the most important legislator in the United States in Joe Manchin, and I am impressed with his gravity and his seriousness. It's like Angus King, who's been a guest on this show, and Chris Coons also. Those are the three key Democrats to me. Those three. And Chris Coons is the most left of them, but he's a wonderful man. He's a great human being. Angus King, wonderful man, great human being. I don't know Joe Manchin. I hope he'll come on the show. He also said, I don't have time to play it. Do I, Adam? The other cut? I'll play that in the next cut. Let me, in fact, advance the market report so I can talk about that. The market report is brought to you by Birch Gold, which you can find at HughGold.com. To my new affiliate, I want you to know very, very much that every single morning, Birch Gold sponsors a market update. And I tell you every single morning, if you're going to buy gold, and you should have some gold, especially in your IRA or 401k, if you don't own it physically, you should roll a portion of your IRA or 401k into a Birch Gold backed by physical metals IRA or 401k. If you simply visit HughGold.com, there's information there that you can request from them. It's free, no obligation. Or you can text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. Gold this morning is at $1,861 an ounce. That's up 0.5%. I expect inflationary pressures to be extraordinary in the next 2 years. Extraordinary. So while the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P all declined yesterday, I expect there will be a good day today since all the markets overseas are up. And gold is certainly rising. Light crude is over $50. The 10-year Treasury is at 1.13, first time in since the crisis of the virus. Gold. Send my name, Hugh, to 474747 via text or visit HughGold.com. Come right back. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. As I said yesterday, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin. And it's just great that today I have got a brand new affiliate in Clarksburg, West Virginia, 1340 WXKX, because it just so happens that Joe Manchin is making news today. And so West Virginia should be very proud of this Democrat. On with Brett Baer last night, cut number one.
It's all true, Brett. It's all the same. Nothing's changed. Here's the thing, Brett. My job right now, being in the position I am, always being in the middle, is basically going to do everything in my power to bring this country together, to heal the country, and to work in a bipartisan fashion, which is the reason that we have the Senate. I'm going to do the job I've always done. I'm going to continue to try, working with the minority and the majority. And now that we're split, we need to bring this country together. And I think people want us to. I can't
condemn. So if the pressure's on, if the pressure's on from Chuck Schumer to get you to break the filibuster, to change the rules, what are you going to tell him?
I would say, Chuck, if you sit down and tried to work with Mitch, and Mitch, would you sit down with Chuck? Can you all try to work this out? Can we find some compromise to where we can get 60 or 65 of us voting for the same thing? I would like to think we could, if it's that important. And sometimes
DC statehood, let's take an issue by issue. DC statehood, Puerto Rico statehood. You said you're examining that. In order for that to happen, there would have to be a filibuster, a change in the rules to get to that vote, right?
I don't, you know, from the standpoint you're saying there wouldn't be 60 senators to do that. I really don't know. I haven't really researched that. You brought up to me the first time, there's been so much going on. I'm happy to look at all of these issues, but I've said what I've said on the others. I want the Senate to work. The Senate was intended to work. The founding fathers, Washington, Madison, Jefferson, this was the intent of the Senate. Work where the minority has input. I've been in the minority and we've had very little input, and I intended to work with my minority partners to have input, for them to have input.
If the pressure, Senator, was too great, from Democrats on that front, would you become an independent?
You mean if I don't think the Democrats will throw me out, do you think? I'm not sure. I mean, where are they going to throw? I'm a good old West Virginia conservative Democrat. There's not a whole. I understand that, Brett, but I'm still a proud West Virginia Democrat who loves my proud West Virginia Republicans. We get along. or at least we used to. I hope they don't push us apart, but I intend to stay where I'm at. I can work. I'm very comfortable. And we'll just have to see what happens. But the pressure doesn't, I mean, I'm too old to be pressured. My goodness, what are they going to do to me? I want a place to work. I love my country. I love the process we have. I want the democracy to work. I respect my Republican, my friends. And I really worked I tried like the Dickens to work with the president for 3 years. I always want my president to succeed. And I want Joe Biden to succeed. I'm going to do everything I can. And I would like to think my Republican colleagues feel the same.
You know, Joe Manchin. Bravo, Joe Manchin. 99% of the 74 million people who voted for Donald Trump would agree with everything he said. 99%. 1% max are extremists. I don't even think it's 1%. Hillary Clinton herself on this show put the number total in the United States of white supremacists at 600,000. And that's, you know, 1%. Again, let's do the math for the Steelers fans. 74 million votes, 10% is 7.4 million votes, 1% is 740,000 people. So Hillary Clinton doesn't even believe 1% of the Donald Trump people, if they even voted for him, because some of the white supremacist, extremist, insurrectionist, militia nutters hate Donald Trump. So I get in a couple of calls to the show. You're calling us all white supremacists. No, I'm not. Listen, I don't believe that. I believe that a group of them infiltrated that demonstration and hijacked it and turned it into an almost, it was terrible as it is, five people dead. It could have been an utter and complete disaster with dead senators and congressmen beyond a dead policeman. And don't look past that. It's like looking past Antifa's violence. Violence on the left and the right, it's always beyond the law. But Joe Manchin hit the sweet spot. By the way, D.C. statehood is simply unconstitutional. It's like trying a president who's left office. On the plain face of the Constitution, D.C. cannot be a state. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
How can you be as nice as me? I'm not from the same slice as me. Where do we go from here, my friend? Is this the way our story ends? Hey, man, sing me a song. When we were everyone, we were more than just a slice of American pie. I can't stop singing along.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. My number, 1-800-520-1234. I would love to talk to anyone who was at the demonstration who is not a criminal. I would like more people to be heard because of the broad brush that is being used to paint everyone there as an insurrectionist when, in fact, the vast majority of people were not. The vast majority of people did not storm the Capitol. The vast majority of people there would have condemned it. And I do not believe there is an evidentiary basis for the House precipitous action tomorrow. Nevertheless, they are going to vote to impeach the president. I also want to touch on what the president-elect said yesterday. Cut number four, Joe Biden.
Sir, are you at all afraid of taking your oath outside? You know what happened.
Hey, guys, thank you. Let's go.
Wait. I can't see because I haven't seen these guys in a long time. I'm not afraid of taking the oath outside, and we've been getting briefed, but I am. I think it's critically important that there be a real serious focus on holding those folks who engage in sedition and threaten people's lives, deface public property, cause great damage, that they be held accountable. And I think that's a view that is held by the vast majority of Democrats and Republicans in the Congress.
He's right. It's held by the vast majority of Americans. I think probably 99% of Americans want everyone who stormed the Capitol arrested and tried on the appropriate. Look, there are different degrees of culpability here. Someone murdered a policeman inside the Capitol. Other people intended to. And some other people appear to have just wandered in thinking it was open, assisted by some dopey Capitol policeman who maybe they were doing what they thought was in the best interest. The president-elect also got a question about his priority and answered thusly, cut number five.
Our focus will be on small businesses on Main Street that aren't wealthy and well-connected, that are facing real economic hardships through no fault of their own. Our priority will be Black, Latino, Asian, and Native American-owned small businesses, women-owned businesses, and finally, having equal access to resources needed to reopen and rebuild. But we're going to make a concerted effort to help small businesses in low-income communities, in big cities, small towns, rural communities that have faced systemic barriers to relief. Think of the mom-and-pop owner with a couple of employees who can't pick up the phone and call a banker, who doesn't have a lawyer, an accountant, to help them through this complicated process, to know if they're even qualified, or who simply didn't know where this relief is available in the first place. We went through this, Don, when we were trying to bring, when we brought Detroit back off its knees. And as we saw in this morning's job report, restaurants, bars, and hospitality industry have been slammed by this virus. We're going to direct relief to those businesses and others that have been so badly hit the hardest. We owe them that support to help them get through the other side of this crisis.
Now, I've got to say, I agree with his intention to help the businesses that have been most badly hurt. If they do so with any reference to race, it's unconstitutional. I hope they know that before they begin. They cannot do a Black business relief bill. They cannot do a Latino business relief bill any more than they could do a white business relief bill. It's unconstitutional. They can do a low income. They can do a small business. They can do a business that was recently started. They can do a lot of different things, but they may not use race as a predictor or as a means of providing benefits or inflicting punishments. Race is prohibited absent strict scrutiny. Tell me again, Adam. No, we'll pass that one on. Let me go also to Nancy Pelosi, who was on 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl, and I missed this, but I want America to hear it. Cut number six.
No other explaining why this president of the United States is such a handmaiden of Putin.
Can we talk about the A word?
What's that?
Age.
Oh, age.
You're 80.
Right.
Your number two, Steny Hoyer, is 81. Your number three, Jim Clyburn, is 80. Why haven't you brought young people into the leadership?
Because we have. You perhaps don't know.
Why does AOC complain that you have not been grooming younger people for leadership?
I don't know. You'll have to ask her. Because we are.
That was kind of sharp, kind of dismissing her.
I'm not dismissing her. I respect her. I think she's very effective, as are other, many other members in our caucus that the press doesn't pay attention to. But they are there, and they are building support for what comes next.
Now, can I point out to you that when Leslie Stahl sat down with the president, President Trump, how far more aggressive she was with him than Leslie Stahl saying to Nancy Pelosi, that's kind of sharp. Oh, that's kind of sharp. It is so sheep dipped. Beltway, Manhattan, Washington, Silicon Valley, Hollywood media is so sheep dipped in leftism, they are unaware how left wing they are and how they tilt the table with an interview like that. And of course, Nancy Pelosi would never sit down with anyone like me who would be respectful and courteous, but nevertheless drive home the point about the split in her caucus. Drive home the point about the fact that AOC is emerging and she is declining and she no longer controls her caucus, and why did she lose so many seats? It was softball on top of softball. Finally, I want to talk about big tech. Well, let's go to Ryan in Pennsylvania. I asked him to call. Ryan, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good morning.
Good. Were you on the mall?
We were on the backside of the Capitol.
But did you attend the president's speech?
Yes. Yes, we attended the entire speech.
When did you drive up?
We took a bus down that morning.
And did you go with the intention of doing violence?
Of course not.
Well, yeah, just this is how I would ask you in court, right? So why did you go?
Because the president asked us to be there.
And so what did you expect to happen with his asking you to be there?
Exactly as everything happened from the position in which we were. You know, there was 100,000 people sitting there cheering on the president, listening to people talk and support.
But you know, to
just,
what
just
end?
Just a rally like every other one.
A rally, but to what end? What did you think would happen as a result of that rally?
Nothing. I thought it would be the same thing as all the others. You know, I thought the people would go down, have their voices heard. You know, I mean, from where we were standing, there was songs being sung, people cheering and stuff like that. Now, there's a lot of upset patriots, too, but there was no ever talk of violence or anything.
Did you expect the House and Senate to in any way impede the certification of the Electoral College's vote?
Expect them to stop the vote?
Yes.
Yes.
You did?
Yeah, I didn't think they'd let it go through.
Why did you think that? Because if you listen to my show every day, you know he lost the election. I've told you that since the second day of the election, the day after the election.
Why did you? I still am firm belief that there is 100% voter fraud.
I understand that, but the belief has not been validated in any court. And I'm just, I don't want to debate voter fraud because I know the problems in the system. I know the pandemic-induced changes. I know the argument against what the Pennsylvania legislature did. I know it wasn't challenged in 2019. I know it was supported by Republicans. I know the whole argument. I'm more interested in thinking, finding out why you thought there was a chance of it working. There was never a chance of it working.
I really thought the courts were going to pull through for us.
No, but I mean in the Congress. People might still hope that the courts pull through some way, but in the Congress, there was never a prayer.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I guess I was hoping that there was enough people that were going to stand up and say no. I know before the people had breached the building, there was a whole bunch of people that said they had switched their votes and had planned to vote the other direction before they breached the Capitol. And then when they came back, they said they had changed their mind.
Okay. Yes, they did. And good for them. Let me ask you something, but there was never going to be a majority. Let me ask you, Ryan, did you see any people bent on violence in the crowd around which you were gathered?
Like I said, I was on the back side of the yard, and all of the violence, of course, happened on the front. But there was people walking. All of it was done before I got there. I got there at after 2 o'clock. So we walked up and stood on the yard just so we could see and watch what was happening. And the police were... They were throwing down tear gas on the protesters that were standing on the backside of the building. And they were actually standing amongst the protesters. So there was no violence on the backside. They were just kind of avoiding the police and walking around them.
Did you hear the president's speech when he delivered it?
Yes. The microphone that was in front of us was a little broken up. So we struggled to hear pieces of it. But, yeah, we were there for the entire speech. And then we came home and played it in full.
Did you understand the president at any point to call for the occupation, physical storming of the Congress?
Oh, of course not. No, he didn't. He never did.
Are you certain of that? Because some people are blaming him for inciting what happened.
No, I'm absolutely certain of that. There's a lot of people that blame a lot of people for a lot of things that never happened, too.
So how would you argue the case that he did not intend to incite the crowd to occupy the Congress?
I think it'd be very simple. Listen to his speech. Everybody should listen to his speech in entirety.
Did anyone that spoke from the rostrum, because Rudy Giuliani mentioned trial by combat, was that understood to be a call to occupy the Congress?
I have to be honest. I struggled to hear Rudy's speech. The first half of his speech was very muffled on our speaker, and I have not gone through and listened to his speech to have any facts on that.
Did anybody that you heard... Did you understand any of them to be calling for the occupation of the Capitol?
No, not at all. And I was around thousands and thousands of people. We were fairly close. And we marched down the street, walking down the street. And by the time we got there, of course, like I said, it had already happened. We got there just after 2. And there was no talk of violence. Even when we were standing in front of the Capitol, we still had no idea that it had been breached.
What is your reaction to the people who went in and did violence and murdered the policemen?
Oh, it's awful. I mean, they should be prosecuted to whatever extent they should be.
Every single person who entered the Congress without permission?
You know the legalities more than me. I would say they need to go with whatever legality they broke.
Last quick question. What was the mood like on the bus driving home?
A lot of people didn't know there was violence at all. So we were getting clips from the news that there was violence. And so we thought the news was making things up because we had no idea there was any violence on the front side. So we were all kind of confused and not believing what was happening. Because
Ryan, I appreciate your call very, very much and for your listening. It's first-person testimony of the sort. I wish the Congress would pause to collect. I'll be right back, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Thank you so much for joining the Hugh Hewitt Show. David M. Drucker on Twitter. He's also with the Washington Examiner. You see him all over television. Hello, David.
Hey, good morning, Hugh.
How many Republicans will vote for impeachment tomorrow?
I mean, I could probably see maybe a handful or less. Let's just put it like that. And you can see I'm struggling with the decision here. I think you have a lot of Republicans that are unhappy with what happened and blame the president for what happened. And that makes a lot of sense, but they think that impeachment a second time around, even actually if it was the first time around, is, number one, going to be unhelpful. But I think, there's still an element of looking over their shoulder at a primary electorate in 2022 and just wondering how necessary this is with the president leaving office in 10 days or less.
Now, David, that's a political analysis. I'm doing the constitutional analysis. I just had another caller who was at the rally. And of the four or five I've had at the protest, not the occupation, they are not insurrectionists, they are not criminals. They do not believe the president in any way indicated violence. And so the House will be impeaching him for incitement and his admittedly far-fetched arguments about voter fraud. I don't believe them. I've not believed them since November the 3rd. But he makes them. That's a direct assault on speech. Does anyone bring up to you the problem with that?
No, they don't, because most people, I don't want to say most people believe, it sounds like I've taken a poll. There are Republicans that are vocally upset and there are Republicans that are quietly upset. And for people that are upset with the president, what they believe is that after 2 months of saying the election was stolen in a conspiracy and we should do something about it, eventually somebody is going to act. And I think, Hugh, it's similar to what I would say about the president, let's say, referring to the media or others as the enemy of the people. The media has got a lot of problems. We get a lot of things wrong. We're not always fair. But being wrong, being biased, is different than being the enemy of the people. Eventually, if you call someone the enemy of the people long enough, somebody might do what you tend to do with enemies of the people, and that is to try and neutralize them. And so I think what happened at the Capitol on Wednesday last week leaves many Republicans believing that constantly saying that the election was stolen and then asking Congress to throw it out and overturn it fomented what we saw on January 6th.
It was reckless. And I've consistently condemned the enemy of the people speech because it's wrong. And attacks on the judiciary are wrong. And he has been reckless and intemperate often. But I've seen a lot of Democrats be reckless and intemperate over the years as well. I've seen a lot of stuff. But the constitutional standard, as described by Brandenburg v. Ohio, is clear. You must have the present ability and the present intention to incite violence, to actually incite violence. Otherwise, we will be criminalizing speech in a way that this country has never criminalized since the Alien and Sedition Acts and maybe the Red Scare of the 20s and a little bit of McCarthyism. Again, politics aside, does anyone bring that up to you in your conversation? That these are representatives. They ought to know what the Constitution says.
Right. Look, I haven't had anybody make this particular constitutional argument to me. I think what people are concerned about is that for those that are concerned, if you don't send a message to future presidents that this sort of behavior is unacceptable, then it can happen again.
Well, a censure resolution is a censure resolution being discussed as an alternative?
a censure resolution is being discussed as an alternative. Even some Democrats want a censure resolution because it's quicker and they feel like you're more likely to get Republican votes.
Well, they're right.
I think that's one.
They're right, because it's not unconstitutional. I'm curious about senators. On the face of the Constitution, you cannot try a president who has left office. It's just abjectly idiotic. And I think Joe Manchin realizes that.
Well, look, I think a lot of senators actually understand that, but there's this desire to try and neuter Trump and prevent any further misbehavior, let's say, on his part. And I think, you know, I think Democratic voters in particular want this, but I do think there is a subset of Republican voters that want this. We know that, you know, a handful or about three or four Republican senators have called on him to resign, believe he should leave office immediately. And so I just think there's this desire to try and do something, both to punish him but send a message that this shouldn't ever happen again.
But Dave, we got a minute left. If President Trump is tried by the Senate, he will win the court argument that they have no jurisdiction to do so. He will win that. Would that make him stronger in retirement or less strong in the retirement to win in court that he had been unjustly persecuted by the Senate?
Look, that is an argument against impeachment, if you're going to frame it that way. I think right now what people are looking at is that they want him to be held accountable. And they're looking for the strongest way in which he can be held accountable. I think it's very difficult, no matter the circumstance, for an impeachment trial to be held in less than 10 days, because the impeachment article will not have been voted out until this week on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, but I'm reading Punchbowl saying between 10 and 20 GOP colleagues to vote to impeach the president. That's a terrible constitutional mistake. You think it'll get that high, David? Oh, he's gone. All right, hour number two. My Secretary of State Michael Pompeo is in next hour. Stay tuned to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.